Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome back to the Straight Spirit Podcast. I'm Lily, your host and psychic medium. And yes, yes, I am a legitimate psychic medium, believe it or not. So what I do on this podcast, if you haven't been here before, welcome. Previous listeners, welcome. Side note, I don't make any money off this podcast. I don't sell ads. There's no subscription. It's all free. I'm trying to help people. So share, like, subscribe, review. Whatever you can do, you can donate if you want. But currently, as it stands, I've received zero donations for this podcast, zero ad revenue. Okay, so I have to say, disclaimer, all alleged, strictly opinion. Looking for links to any of my services or contact email, it's in the description box below. This case that I'm doing tonight was unexpected. It's not on my board of cases that I want to get done. But it's really, really important, especially to me, you know, as a mum. It's, you know, close to my heart. And sometimes the cases that people refuse to look at are the ones that they care about the most. And so this case, I actually didn't know anything about. I kept seeing this thumbnail on YouTube scoot past, and I would not listen to it or look at it because I thought it might trigger me. Being a mum, you know, some of these cases are so intense. But tonight, for some reason, in the middle of the night, I was guided to finally listen to it. And the video belongs to the case of Dior, I think it's Coons or Kearns or Kearns. Let's just call him Dior. Beautiful name, beautiful little boy. And when I started listening to the video, which was by no means, it was just a brief interview. It was not interview analysis. It was definitely not an in-depth case detailed, you know what I'm trying to say. It was not an in-depth rundown of the case, of anything to do with the location. It was an interview with the parents. And so I wanted to listen and just see what I thought about their energy, what I thought about them. I think some people have been quite harsh from what the interview was suggesting. So anyway, I thought, okay, let's just see how they are. What do I pick up off them? And it's heavy, you know, not what I picked up off them, but the case is heavy. And it's heartbreaking because there's so much love there. I mean, this was a 2-year-old little boy who disappeared a while ago. It's not a recent case from what I understand. And those of us who are mothers, those of us who are parents, I suppose, and good parents, those of us who know 2-year-olds well, it's just, you can't fathom it. But as I was listening to the interview of his parents, I felt a little boy beside me. Now, keep in mind, this does not mean that he is in spirit. I'm not confirming that yes or no yet. What I'm saying is sometimes the energy of people who are still alive comes through as spirit. So just because I'm feeling his spirit, I can feel him tapping on my leg. There may be tears during this reading. Because I'm a mum and I care, you know. All children are my children. And if I can care for them, I will. Ooh, so I want to say this hurts. I also think this is public feeling about this case. This hurt a lot of people, including the parents. That seems obvious to say, but when they're looked at as suspects, people don't think that they are hurting, or they don't seem genuine. I don't think that's the case, but I'll get into it during the reading. But I felt this little boy beside me, little blonde boy on my left side. I can feel his little hands tapping on my thigh as I sit here, and he's, you know, looking up at me like he's so small. I feel like he hasn't grown. Because this case, I think it's something like almost 10 years old now. 8 to 10 years old, this case, and he was 2 at the time. But as he's coming to me, he hasn't grown. And it looks like a little child looking up at me to trying to get my attention. You know how they come up and they tap on the leg, or they're calling and for you, and or their mum, and they want snacks, or they want something, or they want treats, and his, you know, a little sippy bottle, or like milk bottle, or whatever, juice, whatever he was drinking, water. You know, anyone who knows 2-year-olds can picture it. Tap you on the leg, looking up, cute little face. One thing I do want to say is during the interview, I think there was a question about, directed at the parents, about someone seeing the boy with an adult who turns out to be the dad, and the boy was really dirty and filthy. And I've got to say, with a 2-year-old, it's not unusual. Like, you can, and these guys were camping. I do know that. So he disappeared while they were camping, never to be seen again. Allegedly. So the fact that, you know, they're camping, they're out in the dirt, in the nature, there's no showers or baths nearby, as far, like, right next door to you'd have a shower. What I'm trying to get at is, kids get dirty, so I'm just kind of getting the feeling the parents were very harshly judged during this case and the search for Dior. Okay, I think that's enough preliminary intro gibberish, but basically I don't know the ins and outs of this case. I don't know the parents' names. I just watched a quick video where they were talking about it, an analysis of the interview. If you're interested, it was believed that they were telling the truth from that interview, but I'm going to look into it psychically through my visions. You can hear me scribbling on the paper here to get the messages through. I just want to say he's not letting go. He's kind of got a hold on my dress, on my skirt, on my left-hand side. He's just, you know, looking up at me. Guys, he's so small. Like, there's 2-year-olds and there's, you know, Dior, who was, or is, just tiny. I want to spell tiny out on my keyboard. Tiny and gentle, but rambunctious, like all 2-year-olds are, and they're supposed to be that way, so get off their back. Forgive them. Okay, I get messages through everything: songs, sounds, music, everything that happens in my physical environment. I've got a candle lit here for Dior. And I really feel like there was a lot of public support in this case for Dior. Maybe not necessarily the parents. I think they were supported with the search. But it feels like the community showed up for Dior. I heard that's nice. Okay. Without further ado. So as I'm doing this, I've got my recording software up, I've got my eyes closed. So just so you know, when I type on the keyboard, you can hear me typing. My eyes are closed, so I'm not reading off Google or anything. I'm literally just tuning into what's coming to me, energy-wise. Sometimes during readings, the messages can be misinterpreted. So I might, let's say I see a purple elephant, I might read that one way, the audience might read it another, and Dior's family would read it another way. So it doesn't mean it's wrong, it's just different ways of looking at things. So I'm going to try and give you the visions, like exactly what I'm seeing, and then my interpretation. But sometimes, like, you, the family especially, use your own interpretation. And I mean, this reading with all due respect and love to Dior's family and Dior. Certainly not trying to make a spectacle of it, like I think a lot of people have. First thing I'm feeling is like photo albums are empty. Like cut off, they didn't make it past a certain time. So you know, there's old school photo albums. I'm not saying there's a literal photo album. It's symbolic, right? A lot of us is symbolic to get to coax feelings out and impressions and emotion. Yeah, feelings and emotion are the same thing. Energy, that's the word I was looking for. So what I'm seeing is an old school photo album. We used to pen the photos down with like the black corners or something. Maybe his grandparents have an old school photo album. All of them, you know, maybe he has quite a lot of grandparents, like a full set, I want to say. But looking at the photos as baby photos, this little, you know, little toddler photos, as infant, toddler, and then it stops, you know. Where there are supposed to be primary school age photos, they're not there. It's missing. I mean, that seems obvious, but this is what they're showing me. So if you hear me yawn on this podcast, I'm not bored. What it is my vibration settling and rising so I can match spirit. I'm going to ask about his parents. Whatever's going on, I could say that I feel like Dior is happy. My first initial gut feeling about this case was that it was not going to be a happy ending. That's certainly not what I would wish for the parents, but I felt like great sadness in that they would be disappointed with the outcome. If there was one, you know? As I doodle as well, the pictures usually correspond to the case. I don't know what I'm doodling, it just sort of comes out. Okay. What I feel like I'm drawing is like shimmering on water, moonlight on water, or artificial light on water. Oh, sunlight. You know, you get that zigzaggy array or spray of like sunlight across the water. Afternoon, maybe. Creek water. It feels like gently flowing. It doesn't feel like a rapid. It feels like a trickle or a gentle flow. It's not like if this boy fell into the river, it would have taken. It doesn't feel like in this spot where they were, it would have taken him under and destroyed him or drowned him. It feels like, I mean, it doesn't matter how steady the water is. It's possible for a 2-year-old if he can't swim. Mind you, there are babies who can swim. But what I'm trying to get at, the feeling they're giving me is that this water is not fast flowing and rapid, or harsh. It just feels like the creek wasn't a danger. And water's always dangerous to children that young, but you know what I mean. I think it doesn't feel like the water is the big danger. Like, stay back from the water. And I feel like for the most part, they kept an eye on him, because it wasn't just the parents. I think the grandparent, at least one grandparent, was there. It feels like to me like they were keeping an eye on Dior. You have to at 2 years old. They're into everything. If you don't know 2-year-olds, you're missing out. They're amazing. Amazing at that age, but they are busybodies. Busy, busy, busy. You turn around, even 1-year-olds, you turn around and all the drawers are emptied. And you really have to get good at preempting what they're going to do. But I certainly am not saying that the parents should have seen this coming. From what I understand, they did put some thought into where they were camping in regards to Dior and his safety. And you know, if you have at least 3 grown-ups who really are keeping an eye on Dior, from what I understand, then you feel like that's a pretty good bet, right? But something else got in the way, I think. Okay. creek, water, steady flow. Little fishies. Kind of like tadpoles? Yeah. He's saying he never got to see them. Like, didn't see them. Never saw them. And I'm sketching infinity. Okay. Which is me, spirit energy, source energy, infinite, great beyond, divine. Sometimes when I'm translating, I suppose it's like this with any translation, when I'm translating energy, the words, I can say one but I mean the other, and I'll clarify that eventually, but so often you'll find sometimes I'll rattle through words until I get to the one that feels the most right. Okay, that's it. Or I'll say this and I'll go, no, that's not it. And I'll keep going through. It's because I'm finding what matches the energy the most accurately for you guys. I also feel like I want to take my jumper off, my jacket. I'm hearing like jacket gone. But the interesting thing is that I'm hearing it in toddler speak, like little kid speak, two word sentences, jacket gone or whatever. Like, I'm not saying that that's how he spoke. Maybe he wasn't very vocal. I think he might have been. He sounds very intelligent. But this is like the age range. This is child speak, jacket gone, or whatever it was called. Or, you know, like a little kid might say dummy gone or num num. Or this is the way that this message is coming to me through spirit. I'm hearing we're losing daylight. From the dad or grandparent. And as I'm recording this, I know I said midnight at the start of this podcast, this episode possibly, but it's actually dawn's coming up. So I feel like daylight had a lot to do with this case. It's all a lot of daylight stuff. So actually, I don't know that I think it all happened in broad daylight. So I don't think he went missing in the night. I think he was gone for a lot of nights, but I'm feeling the mum now. I feel like mum was just starting to relax. Like, she let her guard down a little. Not that she did completely, but, you know, those brief moments that mums who are, you know, really hands-on, where they go, oh, you know, his dad's there, grandpa's there, whatever they called him, like pop-pop or papa or whatever the name was, grandpa, he's there, so I can just like put my feet in the water a little, or I can just relax a little, because it's, you know, the preparation getting ready for camping is intense, and I feel like dad did most of it, of the equipment. But she's still got, if you think about it, she's got to do food, she's got to do Dior, she's got to take care of all his stuff, and, you know, a two-year-old, and getting anything done, making a cup of tea with a two-year-old around is tough, because it's just that unique and special, so hard to keep occupied, you know, they zip everywhere, they're over here, then they're over there, and it's not like a five to seven-year-old, you can sit down and they will sit and play with their iPad or whatever, or toy or Lego for a while, and he wasn't even old enough for all of that. Nothing kept his attention more than mum, but then when there's so much to explore, you know, and I'm feeling like he loved the attention from the adults that loved him, you know, what I can see is him smiling and maybe doing a dance or like a silly dance or doing something goofy or silly or clapping his hands. Or like a little jump, at least I can see his little feet and these little shoes. I don't know if he had a yellow shirt at some point and some blue shoes, which I think he kicked off a lot, but I can see his little toes, and I can see him like sort of doing that two-year-old performance for a grandparent, or it could be mum, but it feels like a grandparent, and you know, they clap and cheer them on, and who doesn't like that kind of attention? you know, I mean, imagine as an adult, all you had to do was stand in front of another adult and clap your hands and smile and stomp your feet and do a silly dance and they would cheer you on, you know. It doesn't really happen that way. Kids are quite unique in their experience like that. So I feel like he really enjoyed that. And he liked the pretty lights. There was a campfire, if you could, maybe he never got to see that. I'm not sure, you know, which day it was camping. Or, you know, he's also talking about candles at a vigil. He's saying, I like the pretty lights. Candles, lights, if there are fireflies or moonlight, he's just saying lights. He's gesturing to the candle that I have here. And he's just touching it, going, ow, ow, ow. You know, two-year-olds are not that aware of danger. They're starting to learn and starting to gain that fear of certain things around them, but they're certainly not fearless. You know, I'm feeling like mum was just, and dad were just teaching him, you know. He was just starting to comprehend it. But kids that age, from what I've seen and I understand, they don't have that that awareness to the point of don't go over there past that point because it's dangerous or because, you know, it's not safe, you can't see mum from that point. Like, they just go and they figure it out when they get there. And so that's why mum's and dad have got to be on them all the time. But of course some of them have that separation anxiety. I feel like, you know, all your parents, good parents out there get it, where they don't want to be far from mum. But at the same time, all it takes is a butterfly, or all it takes is something, and they go, what's that? And they're off. You know, they don't think like older kids and adults do. It's all an impulse, is what I want to say. Love and impulse and needs and instinct. I mean, just think about it. Some two-year-olds still, you know, nappies, still have dummies, still have bottles. This is little. So little. Inquiring whether the parents had anything to do with it. And I'm drawing a circle. Tight. What I heard from the interview and what I felt like they were telling the truth. I really don't feel like they had anything to do with his disappearance. I mean, at some point you could say they're culpable because they, you know, he disappeared while they were watching him. At some point, there's some responsibility there, but I don't think they did anything to hurt him. What he's saying to me is not mama. Mama loved me. That's what he's saying. Mama loved me. Mama loves me. She loved me. And I can see him sort of getting up on a chair. He's got stuff in his hands. I don't know if he had things when he disappeared, like a teddy or a blanket or maybe holding his jacket or like a sippy cup and a dummy. Or it's like his hands are full and it's something he keeps putting in his mouth. If he didn't have it at the time he disappeared, it's just, you know, two-year-olds, indicative of that. But it feels like he's busy. Like his hands aren't, I just want to say, are never really empty. He's got a snack, or he's got a bottle, or he's got some sticks or leaves, or he's got stuff in his hair, or he's got a dummy, or he's chewing on something. You know, it's his hands are always active, his mouth is always active, and he's always got stuff. He's got stuff. I can see him carrying loads of things. And I think that's part of the mystery of disappearance, now drawing a huge infinity symbol. That's part of the mystery of the disappearance, is that how can he go missing when he, you know, two-year-olds would lose stuff, is what one of the parents said. They would lose stuff, would find the trail. So anyway, and he said daddy's the protector, his protector. That his daddy does too much. He does too much, like, meaning he overcompensates, or he, you know, overbearing in a protective way, or just verbal vomit, like word vomit. You know, it's not like daddy did too much, like, in a bad, in a negative light, like he hurt me. It's daddy does too much energetically, vocally, verbally, mentally. He thinks things through a lot, like over the top sometimes. Analytical. It's intellect to a point, but it's also knowledgeable. Like, I think his dad prides himself on having all his shit together, having all the notes together, having all the information, and feels competent when he can provide that for his family. You know, the knowledge. That's not necessarily intellect to a point, it's knowledge, and knowledge is power. I feel like someone who's quite adept at the outdoors, maybe he taught his wife, or she had a little bit of knowledge when they met. Well, sorry, not wife, I don't think they're married, but partner at the time, maybe she had knowledge, but he has more, or he sort of taught her more about the outdoors. She may have had a family that had that gave her that knowledge, grew up in it, but it just feels like he has the vast knowledge about outdoors. She's sort of along for the ride in a, like, she does enough, she doesn't have to. It just really feels like he carries a lot of the way it's supposed to be, in a way. Now, I'm not saying he was perfect in everything he did with Dior, but what I'm getting is she handles her side of things, and he carries the stuff that she can let go of things, and he will handle that. You know, she's not having to pack everything for the camping trip and do all the other stuff. It's like he's at least got his stuff. He's taken care of that. They got grandparents helping. She can focus on Dior and what she needs to do in a good way, right? It feels somewhat balanced, sharing the load. Sharing the load, that's a good way to explain what I'm feeling here. They take care of each other. By no means perfect, but they had a routine, they had the shit down pat, you know. Maybe they've been camping a few times and they knew what to expect out of each other. You know, they worked well together in some aspects. I can see the dad and the mum, obviously, but what I'm seeing is the dad looking up at the boy, like symbolically, spiritually, spirit, utterly heartbroken and in such despair. I don't get anything sinister here, and what I hear the little boy saying is that daddy's trying to find me. He's not going to find me. Daddy's looking for me. He's not going to find me. Or at least not just yet. His daddy's going to be sad when he doesn't find me. I also feel mum turning away from dad to a point. So I wouldn't be surprised if this really, like, their relationship went completely south after this. I don't think it was for lack of trying. It was just dealing with too much, especially with dad. Like, he seems action-oriented and focused, and mum is, like, in utter despair and overwhelm and depletion. She's depleted. Her despair is real and honest and true. Okay, something interesting that I'm just sketched is a pair of underwear, underpants. Could be a nappy, but they're obviously children, so if he wasn't in nappies, you know, clothing, it looks like a pair of undies, as I would say in Australia, so, you know, or a nappy. So I wonder if that's something to do with Case, and that, you know, he dropped it. It was time for a nappy change, or if he wasn't in nappies, it was like they found something. They found some stuff that belonged to him. But there's something about this. There's a reason why I sketch this. Underwear or nappies. What is that? Like wetting them? Wetting them? Taking them off? You know, kids that once they learn how to take the clothes off, that's it. They're not staying in them. So, but this feels like after or around the time of his disappearance. And I feel like I want to point out that kids his age startle easily too. That's when they go running to mum and dad or dad. But it's like, bam, there's a noise or something, and then they take off or they run and hide, you know. I don't know why I want to talk about that. Okay, so he's saying, I just asked for clarity for once and for all. Did his parents have anything to do with his disappearance? He said no. His dad was like his best buddy. And really looked after him. Like kept an eye out for him. Safety-wise, I think safety was dad's department for sure. That's something he could handle. Maybe not the late-night feedings. I don't know, but maybe not that. Maybe not the dirty nappies. Maybe... like, for example, that was mum's department, but dad could do safety and patrolling and protection. But he said his mum was his light. His dad was his buddy. Mum was his light. Mum was everything to him. Is this like a smile or something? Like a smile with one corner of the mouth up. Sly smile. Is that a smile? Or a log, it'd be a log over the river. Okay. So, I really don't think his parents or family, I'm just gonna say family, had anything to do with it. But they sure as hell feel responsible, they feel guilty. He's saying to pull up a photo of his parents. I'm just googling his parents, and I'm going to go straight to images. Not going to read articles yet. I just want to find a picture of them. His parents. He's like, oh my god, there's one photo of the dad right there in tears, and it's real tears, guys. Like, I don't know how anyone. But people who are maybe not looking into Vernal is the dad's name. People not looking into using their intuition to figure out or feel something from these parents, but their emotion is real. That's why it's so painful to see anybody feel that way, you know? I mean, just me looking at him, the father, in tears made me start to cry, which tells me it's genuine emotion. It's not fake tears. And these people are really desperate. And one thing I really got from the father from the interview is that he's really gung-ho. Like, he's knowledgeable, he's trying, he's pleading for help, he's getting people involved, and guilty people just don't do that. Really, they don't want people in the case. They have a puppy or something? It's actually turned into a dog's face, like a puppy face. Interesting. Something about that curving up on the one side. I'll come back to that. So the father's name is Vernal, the mother's name's Jessica. Not married, but yeah. I don't think that means anything to do with it. He's telling me that his dad gave, like, the best cuddles. and that mum would give him the best smiles. This might even be one of those rare occasions where this kid had everybody he was supposed to have. Do you know what I mean? He's got grandparents who love him. It's like, you know, from both sides, from what I'm feeling. He's got his mum and dad who are looking out for him. Just, you know, why did he have to go, is what I'm hearing people ask. Why did he have to go? Okay. I'm going to go back up. So I'm going to close Google now. I'm going to go back to my reading. Something about this puppy face. It's like a dog's nose. Okay, next page. Are there bears? Are there bears up where they were? I might sound like a stupid question, but I'm not, I don't know, like I haven't read about where they were, but I'm questioning the kind of wildlife. Timber Creek Campground, okay. So where is that Idaho? Sorry guys, I'm just trying to figure out. It is in Idaho, yeah. I think there are bears up that way because it looks like a nose. It's like the mouth and the... Okay. All right. Okay, back to my sketching and reading. I think maybe one of the many, many theories in this case might have been that he was... I don't want to say attacked, but, and trigger warning, guys, skip forward 15 seconds if you don't want to hear this, but like consumed or messed with by wildlife, that might be one of them, because it's something that's popping into my head. So again, I could be getting a theory, I could be getting... fears in the case, it's just what's popping up. So, okay, he wants me to look at a photo of him. I'm gonna go back up. Which photo, mate? Well, that's a really cute one. Adorable. I hadn't actually had a good look at his photo until now. So I've just clicked on a photo from an article, so I'm just looking at his face. He's such a little champ. Oh, I'm just admiring him. So he vanished on a camping trip in rural Idaho with his family in 2015. So in this really cool photo, if you go to Google, you'll see it. He's got a little blue monkey next to him, I mean, which could be the mouth. He's got a sippy cup, something with a shark on it, a green lid, a blankie with soccer balls on it, a green like tartan or plaid shirt. And his little hands, oh, he's just adorable, guys. I want to say happy kid. I don't think anything was amiss here with this kid. I don't think he was being excessively, you know, like, or how do I say this, abused or treated poorly by his parents. I think he was cherished. I think his dad could be standoffish sometimes when he was in certain moods, possibly. But if anything, and I think maybe every now and then some disconnect or discontent with the parents, but nothing other than the usual. It doesn't feel like, it's like if anything was wrong here in this family, it was not with Dior. It was between the grown-ups and, you know, how often do we see that? So, loved his grandparents, or at least one grandpa here. And I kind of feel like, you know, they had the usual stress of dealing with a two-year-old. You know, especially if this was their first child together or with other people. Maybe maybe dad had other partners, maybe not, but, I mean, other children. But if this was their first, you know, dealing with a two-year-old when you're not used to that, or, you know, you haven't had one before, or you weren't really present for the other ones, it's exceptionally difficult. It's a blessing wholeheartedly, but trying to deal with it takes ultimate patience. And if patience and understanding isn't something that you've cultivated your entire life, all of a sudden you're having to learn it on the fly. And children deserve love and patience, but, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is anything that happened in there to do with the family is just the usual stresses of having a two-year-old and maybe being a young couple who haven't figured things out yet about what they want to do. It's like day to day. It was like just getting through the day. That's what it felt like. And maybe he worked a lot as a way. And she feels alone with Dior. But I really don't think it was this family does not feel, misshapen is such a weird word, but it is anything that people were blaming them for or picking on them for, like they weren't perfect, but it was taken out of context. Okay? He was well loved, cherished. Think there aren't even persons of interest other than the family, or maybe one they've kept under wraps or something, but it just feels like no answers. Nada, zip, zilch. It's not like someone saw a car driving, or if they did, it wasn't accurate. Such and such saw a car driving away at this time, and, you know, so we know someone took him. Like, there's a suggestion or suggestive evidence, but I feel like they can't say for sure. There's one theory they're going with the strongest. That's what I want to say. Okay. He still hasn't been found. All right, let's see, Dior. He goes, no, put my photo back up. I want to tell you something. I want to show you something. Which photo better? I'm going to call him baby. He's so cute. Like, all kids are cute, but this kid is exceptionally cute. So, you know, goes without saying, if you have any information on this case, tell somebody, please. Tell the authorities. Okay, so let's just read this missing poster. Dior was last seen camping with his family at the Timber Creek campground in Idaho, July 10, 2015. What is July season-wise over there? Is that... I know June, July over here is winter, so it's got to be summer, right? His parents said they thought he was with his grandfather, who thought he was with his parents. That happens a lot to kids, you know. That's not odd, I would say. He may have wandered away from the campsite and become lost. That's one theory, of course. Extensive search has failed to turn up any sign of deer that the public is aware of. Birthmark on the back of his neck, blonde hair, brown eyes. Okay, so, yeah. They've done a sort of mock-up of him, what he would look like now. Was that 2015? So 8 years, so he'd be 10. Sorry, that just really... I've got tears in my eyes. That really was hard to think about. Oh, little Champ was born just after Christmas 2012. I probably just want to cry for this kid, you know. But that doesn't help anybody, right? So let's get back into it. I'm just clicking through photos, seeing what I get. Okay. Closing down. Back to doodling and reading. I'm going to go quiet and focus in. If you want to skip this, skip forward. And see if we can piece together any information about that day. I've just drawn the letter A. A, what does that mean? Arnold? Would Arnold mean anything in this case? Could be the name of his little teddy or something. Arnold. Or a show that he liked. Arnold. Just keep thinking, Arnold, Arnold, Arnold. Arnold. Pain in the back of my neck. Just came on now. I'm feeling like I'm running out of supplies as well. I'm running out. I'm running short. Hurt on the neck. Okay. Coverage everywhere. Like, looked everywhere, but I'm going to say that these searches, they say, we looked everywhere, he's not in the creek, he's not in the river, but we all know these searches, they miss something sometimes, even if they're really pedantic, you know, the vast area they have to search, but they covered as much as they could. I think they searched the creek. I feel like I don't feel like Dior is still in physical. I feel like he has merged with spirit. I'm getting like a flat line here. I apologize if that's really upsetting. Hey, I may not be on the money with that, but that's what I'm feeling. I feel like he's not alive at this point. Why he's so happy, because he's in spirit and spirit's happy, what I heard him say was, I'm with mum in spirit. You know, that's what I took that to mean. She certainly doesn't have him hidden away somewhere. I feel like he watches her, he's with her. If you're listening to this and you're from Dior's family or one of the parents, I apologize for speaking so candidly, but I have to tell you the truth about what I'm getting. If you would like to talk about the episode or you want a free private reading, absolutely free of charge, I'll do that. Just reach out to me, my email in the description. And if you're Dior's parents and you'd like me to keep the reading private, I can do that as well. They didn't do it. Grandpa didn't do it. I feel like Grandpa couldn't do it. I don't think he's up and chasing little ones around in the forest either. He feels encumbered, slow, not mentally, but something's slowing him down physically. Could be old age, could be something else slowing him down, something physical. I keep changing pencils. Something I have not done during any other reading. I go brown to black, brown to black, brown to black. Which makes me think of, you know, nature colors, but also the color of bears. And then blue, brown, black, and blue. Brown, black, blue. Brown, black, blue. Black, 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 black. What are these colors? Is this the earth there? Is this nature? Is this the wildlife? What is this black? Black everywhere. Night, maybe? In the dirt? Not being able to see. I need to center, I need to focus, so I'm going back to quiet. I wonder if somebody heard this kid from far away. Now I'm drawing like the same shape again. It's like a left to right curve, like a slice curve, and then a tick up on the right side. Curves up like a slice smile. Oh shit, I could be drawing a creek. Okay. Or the layout of the land. Right? I can feel him climbing into my lap, which is very sweet. We're just going with black now, don't use the other ones. What I'm dealing with is there are so many questions racing in my mind, and I'm trying to ask one or two at a time, but there are so many. So I need to sort of settle and pick one and go from there. If you know, his parents didn't do it, his grandparent didn't do it. It was daytime. Might have lost something, some things. Still hasn't been found. It was only two. And then Arnold popped up, which makes me question. It feels associated with Dior and his family, like Dior, that name, that word. It doesn't feel like a person. Feels like a thing in his experience, whether it's the TV show or a toy or something, or it was on a brand name of something, or if it's not Arnold, it's something like that. Okay. So I've just interestingly drawn a creek, what I think is the creek, in a circle on the creek bank. Maybe where he lost stuff, doesn't have to be where he is. Okay, so here's what I'm doing. What I'm actually sketching looks a lot like a campground, which is interesting. Terrain, forest. I'm going to go up a hill. There's a bit of a hill on this right-hand side. No, that's right-hand side. It's like trapped in a good way, like vast, like a shallow valley. It almost feels like a skate ramp to the point where if Dior tried to run up one side of, like, there'd be a hill and they could catch him. If you went this way, like, the hills are acting as fences, tougher fences. I think they really thought this through. Okay. So one of the things that's sort of muddying things a little here is that, you know, in these cases, I would ask the spirit, where are you? Where's your body? If you're alive, where are you? But in cases like this, it's entirely possible that all of the parts or pieces are not in one place. You know, I'm not saying that's for sure, but, you know, if I say, where are you? Give me a location, but there are things scattered everywhere, then it's not a straightforward answer, is it? Let me backtrack a little. I've sort of drawn these top of the hills here, and he's saying, not going to find me there. Okay. So what I'm seeing here now is somebody I think this might be one of the theories. So what I see is you're walking from one group of parents, like to the grandparent, over to the parents and being intercepted by someone in the bush on his way there. I think that's one theory. And then, like, taking the boy or taking his hand. I feel like that's the father's strongest theory, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. Like, they would see signs, they would hear him, they would find him. Why didn't they find him? So it could be the theory, it could be what happened, but what I just saw clearly was someone in the bush and watching, intercepting the child on his way, like waiting for the moment, intercepting the child when he was on his own. Now, like I said, that can just be the theory, the main theory that they're working with. There may be evidence about that, but I'm also hearing noise from the creek. Like, it wasn't that quiet. You know, the creek's quite loud. But anyone would hear a two-year-old screaming or, and look, someone could take him and not be screaming, and he not scream, I mean, but it just comes with the question, you know, I don't think that if someone took him, they would have had time to coax him quietly. He had possibly, like, if someone took him, logically, I'm thinking, they would have to quiet this kid, because parents would hear him. You know, not every two-year-old, you know, they might scream or yell for mom or dad if someone's holding them, they don't want to be held, or make some sort of noise, or they'd be, you know, loud noises of someone trying to run with this kid, but have to be stealthy. So that's, I feel like that's the working theory, that somebody abducted him. Which I guess people would think that explains why they haven't found him, because if somebody took him, he's still alive, or he was buried elsewhere. What I'm seeing is someone holding the child with their face against the jumper, or hand across, like, you know, so he, it's not hard for a grown adult male, let's say, to subdue a 2-year-old, or a female for that matter. Okay, they're wanting you to think like a perpetrator here. Just think for a minute. You know, it's hard to fathom because we would never hurt these kids. But think about it this way. As a perpetrator, watching this family, planning to take the kid, a kid, any kid, watching this family, waiting for the right moment, being able to hide. I'm questioning how dense the bush is around the campsite, though. Because maybe it's not as dense as we're thinking. But anyway, they apparently didn't hear anyone, didn't see anyone near them. But let's say the perpetrator, if this is, we're working this theory, standing by, waiting for a moment to take the kid, gets his moment, doesn't run, but walks with the kid, keeps it quiet, leaves the area, gets them into a car or whatever, gets to wherever they're going. And leaves the area. And then the parents, you know, he would have the benefit of the time it took the family to realize the kid was gone. He would have that time. And then the added benefit of the parents maybe not going in his direction when they're looking for the kid. They're going which way and everywhere. They're not looking for a perpetrator at first. So it feels like he's got a head start, you know, in the other direction. But certainly, whether someone took him or he wandered off, I feel like something surprised him on his path. It was like, ugh. Whether it was a bear, whether it was an adult. But to be fair, if it was animal, I'm almost certain that wildlife people out there would have been looking for evidence of that. You know, I don't feel like these people were stupid that were looking for him. What I want to look for is the campsite. Oh my God, he's so cute. Okay, we got some pictures of the campsite here. Oh yeah, okay. So what we're dealing with here is wide open spaces and then dense bush, like dense forest. I want to say it's entirely possible for someone to be hiding in the bush there, if that was the case. So what we've got with two main theories that people are looking at. He wandered off, something terrible happened to him there, and, you know, natural causes, or unnatural, if you think that way. And then, so he perished in the wild. But it feels like there would have been some evidence, right? And then so he's out in the wild there, they've just got to find him. The other theory is that someone took him and then buried his remains. I feel like if they did, they would have to bury him quickly or just get rid of him quickly because of the heat of this case. necessarily know if that's true right now. I'm feeling quite mixed up between the two theories. So perhaps looking at the campsite or map will help. Where's the photo of the campsite? Campsite. Where is it, little buddy? Little man. Okay. Some pictures of the creek if you want to go and Google it. Campsite. For people thinking like the parents were stupid for taking him out to this place, there is plenty of open space. Like, I can see how the parents would think they could keep some form of an eye on him, because it's the photos I'm looking at and what I'm feeling, it's like open ground, you know, it's open, and then the forest sort of surrounds the area. It almost just looks like a big park, you know? Because what I'm hearing is, dear little buddy, what happened to you? Who took you? What happened to you? What's going on here? Okay, so for those who've been searching for him, if you didn't know, oh, there's a cute photo of him with a little hat on, cowboy hat. He was wearing camouflage jacket, blue pajama pants, and camouflage cowboy boots. So if you can hear me clicking, I'm just clicking through some photos just to see what impressions come up. All right. He's so cute. I think if he was in nappies, I think the idea of him not being changed and taken care of really stresses his family. You know, that are they, if he's with someone and they're taking care of him, you know, the thought of him being in a nappy that's not clean or changed, that has come up because it's so strong here. That's the other thing too, is that, God, so I hate to talk about it, but it just popped into my head. If he's wearing nappies, typically they have those, anyone who's seen a nappy explode with, wee, or it gets wet from swimming or whatever, it has those granules in it, you know what I'm talking about if you've seen it. And so it's almost like if he was in the area, if he had been, you know, wildlife had interfered with him or anything like that, or he, if he dropped his, just, this is wild speculation, if somehow that nappy was torn apart or found, you know, you would find some traces of it out there, because that stuff lasts like forever. That doesn't decompose, you know? I'm sorry, this is all terribly harsh, but I have to talk about it. Okay, Dima. Just tuning in. It feels like there's so much information and theories that it's so sort of clouded in, you know? Okay. I keep getting information and then I keep double checking, which maybe, because I want to get it right. I don't want to add any more speculation than I have to the case. I want to do it right. He deserves that. He's saying it's okay. You're doing good. I'm going really quiet on this podcast episode a lot because I'm kind of tuning in. Well, I am tuning in. Just seeing more of a person taking him. I keep seeing someone taking him, putting him in a car and driving off. Or like walking some distance to some sort of escape. It feels like a car, and then it's a steady driving left. Seeing him in a car with someone without the proper car seat, like in the front seat. Like, I see him sort of bouncing around. Whether this is when he disappeared or this is another time, that's what I'm seeing. The big question that keeps coming up here, one of the many, is that even if he's quick, even if the area is vast, you're gonna find some trace of him, and they found not much at all. You know, even if he had 10 minutes lead on them, you know, they would call for him and he would reply, or, you know. So it's like logically they're thinking there has to be some way that he was helped out of the area. if it wasn't a car, maybe a boat. I feel like being yanked on the arm. So I'm seeing more of him being taken, that theory, than the wandering off theory. To be honest. Feels like this kid was buried or hidden away. It's like, you know, if someone took him, it's you know, they had to get it. It all happened quickly. You know, it wasn't like he kept him alive. If someone took him, he kept him alive for 5 to 10 years or whatever. You know, for 10 years, it doesn't. I'm getting a no. No, that's not what happened. It was like, boom, gone, done the deed or whatever, and then disposed of. Hid the evidence or hid the. Is that what you almost sort of see him being pushed under like a truck seat? Like in a box and then a seat on top. After he was already taken. And it just feels like easy. It's like, it's not like it's getting rid of an adult body where people sometimes have to cut them up to get rid of them, which is horrifying to think about. But you know, a little 2-year-old's person, I'm so sorry, trigger warning, and this is very graphic, and I hate to say it, but I gotta say everything. You know, the perpetrator, if there is one, would have the opinion that it's easy to deal with this. It's not a problem, you know? Flag, red flag, flag. Also hearing, like, didn't get very far. It's like, if this person was also camping in the area or was just in the area hiking or fishing or hunting or just out there scoping for families, whatever, fishing maybe, wildlife, if there was a perpetrator out there at the time, it could be that they're searching where the family was, they're not searching where this person was. They just feel done and dusted. Done and dusted. I see them putting on a backpack. Like a fishing bag, backpack, or a hiking backpack. Is there a person of interest in this case they haven't told the public about? It almost feels like they're gonna find like his nappy or his underwear or something of his, like quite a distance from where he was supposed to be, which will unequivocally say whether or not he was taken. It's like, how could he get it that far? Unless bears took it that far. I feel like this reading is undone, like not finished. But I'm gonna do a part 2 where I maybe look more at the location, search more into this theory. I feel like I'm a little clouded right now with all the theories going on through this case. Well, what I'll do with you guys, I'll just read a little bit quickly. Let's read together and just see what we can find out. Which one shall I read? Well, that's a good map. I might use that for part two. Okay. I want to read this one. I'm feeling like I should read this particular article, Daily Mail Australia. There's a lot of footage of the family at the time. Grandfather. Bob Walton, great grandfather Bob Walton. They left the kid with him, but he thought the boy was with the parents. I'm also feeling like if there's any discrepancy in the great grandfather's testimony or statements or whatever account, like, you got to take into account his age and his mental clarity. So they're saying he would have been alone for between 20 and 45 minutes. Okay, so that's actually quite a big lead. Now I was saying if it was 10 minutes lead, they would have found him quite easily. But 20 to 45 minutes, okay. Just reading here. I think the lead suspects were the family. Excuse me. So they're saying they tore the whole country apart, didn't find anything. And it does kind of have a skate ramp look where it goes one hill down like a valley and then back up. It's an exhaustive search with 8 agencies, dog search, and 100 people. They searched a wolf den nearby. Okay. Oh, that would be maybe the dog's nose. You know that I was drawing, sketching the dog nose. I feel like people were so hell-bent on the family that they didn't really consider elsewhere. It doesn't seem logical, really, that it was the parents, because logically, if they did something, or there was an accident and they covered it up, which I certainly don't believe, if that's the case, wouldn't the dogs and all, like, something would have turned up. Something would have turned up. There would have been deceptive behavior, and that's just... It doesn't fit. The shoe doesn't fit. Yeah, it's like, look at other theories. Okay. Right, this is the other thing, is that there are ways to look at 911 calls. If you listen to the behavior panel on YouTube, they teach people how to decipher the language and what people are saying, how they're saying it in 911 calls. And the mother's 911 call rings true. Like, Most people are telling a story. The guilty people are telling a story to 911. She's not. She's literally saying the facts. What he's wearing, what's going on. My two-year-old son, she said, we can't find him. He was wearing this, 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 and this. That's exactly what you would expect someone to say. They had a friend with them as well, who was fishing. They're saying, no clothing, toy truck, sippy cup, cowboy boot, blanket, nothing has been found. Yeah, so remember how I was saying his hands were full? She said he never went anywhere without his blanket, cup, or stuffed monkey. So cowboy boots, pajama pants, and camouflage jacket. Oh, okay. So remember how I was saying that it's possible one of them had other children? Before this one, I think the mother has two children from a previous relationship. Okay, so from the initial interview, it sounded like the distance between the parents and the great-grandfather was short. But what I'm reading here is actually it was quite a distance, because they said it was about 10 minutes, but they went to explore the campground. And when they came back, it was like, I thought you were looking after him. Then they started looking. Believe it's either an accident or intentional. Well, of course, the sheriff believes that he is still alive. The mother has never been arrested. I think they're not together anymore. Father drives a truck. Okay, so some people are suspicious because this story has changed. So also the great-grandfather had camped in the area a lot. Like there had been, he'd been there so many times when he was younger. Okay, so look, this is what he said. Something is holding him back. He requires an oxygen machine to breathe properly. Currently, he has not spoken publicly. I'm not surprised. What do you expect from somebody like that? You know, that age, that era, that gender, I want to say. And the friend that was with, I feel like I want to look at him in the next reading. Named a person of interest, but never a suspect. Said he was fishing at Timber Creek campground when Dior disappeared. His account is consistent. Okay. The sheriffs do not suspect foul play. When was that article written? Guys, the speculation on this case is wild. So a year later, the sheriff said, approximately like the next year, the following year, the sheriff said they did not suspect foul play, but nothing's been ruled out. The parents volunteered to take lie detector tests. The parents believe he was abducted. I'm going to save the rest for part two, guys. Thank you for listening to me. I know this one was long and drawn out and maybe quite vague compared to the other ones, but I think it's because it's such an important case. So I'll be back for part two. Thanks for listening. Bye.